Thank God Today, and this is Pastor Adams, president and founder of Truth Matters Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. And as always, we're always delighted, we're honored, we're humbled that you've taken time to join this Truth Matters podcast. And we take so seriously the charge to be host and attendance of this very vital ministry of contending for the faith that has once and for all been delivered unto the saints, according to Jude 3. And as our custom and tradition is, before we get into our teaching, we want to pause and pray and go before our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we thank you once again for your love. We always give your name reverence. We thank you for how you watched over us as we slumbered and slept. We thank you for how you protected us from the thief that cometh by night and the arrow that flieth by day. We thank you for your hedge that camp around about us. We thank you, Lord God, for just your tender, loving mercy. We thank you for your mercies that are new every day. We thank you because you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you that you've not just called us foreigners, but you've called us citizens of your family. We thank you that we were called sons and daughters. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we are called the children of God? We thank you for your so great of salvation that has been dispensed unto us. We thank you, Lord, for your regeneration. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us imputation. We thank you for the righteousness that has been deposited into our account. We thank you for your justification, your sanctification. We thank you for your regeneration. We thank you that we are the beloved of God. You bless and save for someone today. Let someone who was caught in the web of deceit, that person that is living in fear and intimidation, that person doesn't know you and does not walk in your liberty, give them freedom today in Jesus' name. Let someone come forth and let them be emboldened to break free from the shackles that hold them bound. Let someone cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's in Jesus' name we pray today. We thank God for our partners and listeners through over 40 countries in the world. Some of those countries and where we have partners and listeners include Malta and Singapore, Denmark, Norway. We pray for peace in Europe, in Ukraine, those who are going through displacement and fear and death and in warfare in Ukraine. We pray for restoration and healing in Syria and Turkey today. We pray for listeners in Tunisia and Oman and Indonesia, for those who are in Kuwait. We pray for the outreach ministries we support in Liberia and Guyana. And today, if you desire to be saved and you need prayer or have questions or comments, please contact us at our Truth Matters website, www.truthmattersmost.org, www.truthmattersmost.org. True are the words of Mark Twain when he said, "A lie will travel all around the world before truth can ever get its boots on." And today, during this Truth Matters podcast, we're going to examine the truth of pastoral authority, the truth of pastoral authority. Now, our intent during this podcast is to not dilute the grand and vital role of benefits of the pastor to the body of Christ, but we simply want to illumine the God-instituted boundaries and parameters of this inspired office in the church. Hear me. There has been no more important function and office than the pastor, as outlined in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. There are so many great pastors in the church today. I have worshiped with Michael Youssef and Pastor Reuben Beecham, Pastor Josiah Martin, Charles Stanley, Bishop Paul Morton here in Atlanta. These men were great examples of balance and biblical liberty and tender, loving leadership as pastors. I admire men such as Dr. Tony Evans out in Dallas and Leighton Flowers out in Dallas, Chuck Swindoll and Alistair Begg and Bishop Craig Oliver and my dear friend Pastor Kim Ewell in the Philippines, who all collectively champion proper tenets of balanced leadership. Now, while we applaud them, there are still far too many pastors who are abusive and way outside the lines of pastoral leadership and proper leadership and proper authority. You might say, "Pastor Adams, why do you say that?" Well, I can personally recall meeting a female pastor in Colorado Springs. And this pastor in Colorado Springs, she dictated how the members must dress. She even mandated that how the women could wear their dresses and their blouses. They couldn't even wear a blouse where the sleeves went above the elbow. They could not wear any makeup. They could never put on pants. They had to fashion their hair like the women in that popular television series called Little House on the Prairie. They had that type of style. It was mandated. She even decided which members should marry who. What are you talking about? If you came into the church and you were a couple, and another couple came into the church, if she says, well, hey, Larry and Susie, you all not supposed to be together. Bobby and Linda, you all not supposed to be together. You all need to go ahead and switch partners. Those are the marriages that God says that you're supposed to be. And she would dictate things like that in that church. And one of the things that really amazed me is, even though she would dictate and she would have abuses, it's very similar to Pastor Allen in that highly notable House of Prayer church here in Atlanta. This pastor in Colorado Springs even required members to kiss her hand like she was a royal monarch when they were exiting the church. She would put her elbow on a little table and put her hand out there, and they would like kiss her hand like you kiss the ring of some distinguished persons. Many years ago, when I was a single member of a church, we had a pastor who insisted that singles could not even go to on a date or like to dinner or to the movie unless someone from the church went as a chaperone. This pastor taught that members were not allowed to watch television. We couldn't even watch television. We couldn't go to the movies. We couldn't play sports. Here, imagine a man 18, 19, 20 years old can't even play sports. Men were not even allowed to wear shorts or suits, and all the suits had to be black, brown, or blue, or you couldn't wear them. Members were not allowed to listen to any singers or artists like Aretha Franklin. You couldn't listen to Frank Sinatra. If you liked music, you couldn't listen to Beethoven or Louis Armstrong, because they were all defined as worldly music artists. We were under the total control of the pastor's interpretation of Scripture and their apparent authority over the congregation. Now, everything that I've mentioned so far are earmarks of this, and this control is birthed in what is called spiritual legalism and keeping the law, which Jesus came to fulfill. In so many parts of the law, he eradicated all of his ordinances on the cross. Now, what are some of them, Pastor Adams? Well, there are Sabbath observance. There were dietary laws. There were social restrictions, rules that govern every aspect of the life of the Jewish practitioner. Under the law, there was no liberty. There was no spirit leadership. Only thing that it contained was indictments and penalties and judgments. Under the law, spiritual justification was a work-based dynamic, which is still being taught and maintained by so many biblically immature pastors today. I've seen pastors announce that members who did not participate in the building fund or pay a tithe were not allowed to participate in any church auxiliaries or hold any office in the church. There are a growing number of churches today, yes, today, where pastors require that members submit their W-2 as a condition for membership. Well, why is that, Pastor Adams? Well, it's so the pastor in the ministry can hold you accountable to pay certain amounts of tithes and certain amounts of money every month, which of course facilitates their expansion projects, and it also helps them in their abundant lifestyles. I remember getting cold and interrogating phone calls and subtle public rebukes if I missed Sunday school, or if I missed a worship service or a Bible study. And God forbid if someone from the church visited another church or fellowship with another congregation that was not an ally or that was accepted by the pastor, you would receive a swift public rebuke, and you would also get public humiliation if you ever crossed those lines. And now, if any of the experiences or pastoral conduct is present in your church today, those of you who are listening today, if any of that conduct or those experiences are in your present church, you're going to find freedom and liberation through our teaching today. Listen, beloved, there is a consistent theme in spiritual warfare. The enemy of the church, who is the devil, the enemy of our souls, is ever distorting and attempting to breach the fine-tuned institutions and principles that God has ordained in the church. In our commitment for fighting the devil, We here at Truth Matters are determined to combat its influence directed at the church. I remember when overseas in the military, our then current pastor was named Pastor Brock. He was rotating back to the United States. He had finished his tour, and I was selected as his replacement as pastor. Now, I remember during the first meeting as I was a pastor, the congregation, they all assembled, and Sister Blanks, I remember she asked publicly, "Now, Pastor Adams, what are your rules or your do's and don'ts?" And when she asked me that, I paused and I was thinking, "Oh my goodness, what do I say?" And here's what I answered. I said, "Here's my do's and don'ts. Do study your Bible. Do attend Bible study. Do pray concerning every situation and ask God for guidance. Do be led of the Spirit, and don't do anything that violates Scripture or your conscience." Why? Because Jesus, the Spirit, and the Word, they are our foundation and anchor, not the pastor. In our efforts to establish and maintain biblical balance and clarity, Truth Matters must identify the line of demarcation between pastoral responsibility and authority. Did you catch that? The contrast between pastoral edification and abuse. The subtle characteristics between pastoring and pimping. To discern these nuances and distinctions, let's quickly examine some terms that are misused by so many pastors. Terms such as shepherding, spiritual covering, and submission. God Questions Ministry states, "The term spiritual covering is usually used in the context of the shepherding movement. Have you all ever heard of that? Though it can have many other meanings, in its primary context, having a spiritual covering means being submitted to the authority of another Christian believer. The concept is taken to mean that for a person's spiritual life or ministry to be valid in the eyes of God, the person or ministry must be under the direct submission to a specific person." Did you catch that? This might be an elder, a pastor of a church, an older or more mature Christian, or some other authority figure. The idea is that a spiritual covering is required, was initially developed by charismatic movement back in the 1960s. According to the teaching, the spiritual covering, Christians are not only accountable to God, but also to their leaders and elders. Now, for biblical backing, supporters of spiritual covering erroneously cite many verses like Ephesians 5 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. In practice, the concept of spiritual covering makes an earthly authority figure an intercessor or substitute for God Himself in the life of the person in the ministry that has this covering. This has led to some Christians to consult their designated shepherd prior to making family or career or life decisions. In some cases, professing Christians have claimed that given a parent choice between obeying God or their shepherd, they would obey their earthly shepherd first. Now, this is dangerous territory when vulnerable people who have never ever seen God or never heard God's audible voice, they can easily embrace a type of a God avatar dynamic. Who is visible, who is audible, who claims to represent and speak for God. Remember all the abuses of Daddy Grace, Jim Jones, David Koresh, Marshall Applewhite of the Heavenly Gate tragedy? How soon we forget. Naturally, this idea is not without controversy within Christian circles. The teaching of spiritual covering has been the cause of various levels of authoritarian abuse. Now, biblically, each person is ultimately accountable only to God. Say that again, Pastor Adams. Each person is ultimately accountable only to God, not to any other person. Consulting with others for guidance or being humble enough to learn and get wisdom from others is commendable. But listen, our approval comes from God, not men. No person, strictly speaking, has the absolute right to declare our service to God valid or invalid. Mandating a human shepherd for our spiritual lives not only obscures our relationship to Christ, but listen, 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us, "There is one mediator between God and man." Who is that? the man Jesus Christ. Jesus, in fact, speaks against excessive earthly authority in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. The church is called the flock of God in 1 Peter 5 and 2. I can never forget the numerous shepherds that I would observe tend the flocks of sheep in the beautiful hills and countryside in the valleys of Europe. I remember I would sit down there and I would get me some cheese and cracker and I would get my soda and I would sit there and I would just watch for hours in the afternoon. I was impressed with the care and the diligence that was displayed by the shepherd. The shepherds were so patient and caring, and they committed to ensuring that the sheep were fed and had shelter, and they had their little sheep dogs. They would come, they would keep the whole flock safe and secure. See, the body of Christ is called God's heritage, the church of God in Acts 20:28. Jesus is the head of the church in Ephesians 5 and 23, the chief shepherd. The church rightly belongs to Christ, and he is the authority over it. This is just as true for the local church as it is for the universal body of Christ. God's blueprint for building his church includes using men in the office of pastor. Listen, the pastor is first an elder, and along with the other elders, the pastor is responsible to do the following. Number one, oversee the church. Number two, rule over the church. Now listen, the word rule over the church literally means to stand before, not to be a dictator. The idea is to lead or to attend to, with the emphasis on being a diligent caretaker. This would include the responsibility to exercise church discipline and reprove those who err from the first faith. Now, number three, feed the church. Now, number four, guard the church from bad doctrine, or guard the doctrine of the church, according to Titus 1 and 9. Listen, the teaching of the apostles was to be committed to faithful men who would teach others also. Preserving the integrity of the gospel is one of the pastor's highest callings. Say it again. Preserving the integrity of the gospel is one of the pastor's highest callings. The pastor should not expose his members to legalism and esoteric practices and false prophets and prosperity theology and metaphysical practices like channeling and necromancy and prophelying and money flimflams and all types of aberrant theology constructs. Some pastors consider the title overseer as a command to have their hand in everything, whether it's running the sound system of the church or selecting what songs they're going to sing during the Sunday service or picking out drapes for the new nursery that they got. Some pastors feel it's their duty to be involved in every decision and every aspect of the church. Not only is this exhausting for the pastor who finds himself at every committee meeting, it's also hampering others from using their gifts in the edification of the church. A pastor can oversee and delegate at the same time. In addition, the biblical model of plurality of elders, along with deacons appointed to assist the pastor and elders, precludes the pastorate from becoming a one-man show. Now hear me. The command to rule the church is sometimes taken to extremes as well. A pastor's official responsibility is to govern the church along with elders, and his focus should be primarily on spiritually attending to the matters such as edifying believers and equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. We have heard of pastors who seem more like dictators than being a shepherd, requiring those under their authority to seek their permission before making an investment or before they go on a vacation. And men, you know, these men like this, it seems to us here at Truth Matters, they simply desire to have control and they want to rule over people. They want shine. They want to be in the spotlight. They want to have power over people. 1 Peter 5 and 3 contains a wonderful description of a balanced pastoral ministry. Listen to what it says. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but instead being examples to the flock. The pastor's authority is not something to be lorded over and lord over other people. Rather, a pastor is to be an example of truth, love, and godliness for God's flock to follow. A pastor is a steward of God, and he is answerable to God for his leadership in the church. Any leader who demands blind obedience from people and they want total submission is building on a false basis of authority. True authority comes only from God and cannot be seized by men who simply seek power and authority over others, who want to be in charge and who want to be admired. I've observed pastors who have members take them grocery shopping, transforming those members into gophers. You know what a gopher is? It's a person who always has you going for this and going for that. Go pick up my laundry and go pick up my cousin who's flying into town at the airport, along with any errand or task that the pastor finds undesirable. They're going to have you go do it. You go for it. If a group or a person assumes authority based solely on their role or office or position, then that person is abusing his position. They are called heavy shepherds, who are religious power brokers, who control others through fear. They preach about authority, submission, judgment, prosperity, and end times. These false shepherds present themselves as a source of all knowledge and authority. You hear me? How many pastors give the indication, or they have a dynamic that is built and constructed within their ministry, that I'm the source of truth, I'm the man of God, I'm the oracle, I'm the mouthpiece of God, and I'm your shepherd, I'm your covering, I'm the person that God has ordained for you to receive his wisdom, his knowledge, and his power from. They punish people who do not meet a certain standard, and they ostracize them as they have not met God's approval. They ignore the fact that Christians and those who are born again are already got God's approval through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. No person, no member of the body of Christ can earn God's approval. There's a biblical basis for structure within the church. Hebrews 13 and 17 tells us something important. It says, obey our leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be joy, not a burden, but that they will be no benefit to you. But when a leader tells a flock not to think or to ask questions and to ignore problems, they are abusing their position. They're abusing their authority. When people who think or ask questions and confront problems are brand you as unsubmissive or unspiritual or divisive, then they are being abused by false prophets who come to the church as in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, according to Matthew 7 and 15. A good shepherd leads his flock to safety, and instead of being a predator, he guards them from predators who seek to hurt them. Jesus instructs his disciples to obey his commands, just as he obeyed the Father's. But there is nothing heavy-handed about his command. He says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. No longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made it known unto you. So in summary today, beloved, this is how shepherding should be done. This is how shepherding should look. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must do it, but because you are willing to do it as God wants you to be. Don't be greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording over God's people or those that have been entrusted unto you, but being examples to the flock. All of you leaders, clothe yourselves with humilities one to another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's almighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety and your cares upon him, because he cares for you. A heavy shepherding pastor is the exact opposite of a humble servant leader, who Peter endorses. Jesus told his disciples, kings of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But listen, he said, but you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Jesus says, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Listen, Christian leaders, You are under obligation to follow Jesus' example of humility and compassion. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Beloved, be aware and avoid any religious church, any religious group, any practice or pastor who practices shepherding, submission, and covering concepts. We have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. It is for freedom that Jesus has set us free. So now stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and let not yourselves be entangled again in the yoke of bondage or slavery. Now this is the truth about pastoral authority. God bless you, and you pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.